You're a happy looking bunch today.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. That was good. I enjoyed the worship. I decided just to sit down and enjoy it so much. It was just such a blessing. The time that Naomi and Ulu put in preparing and getting ready to share this time with you is not wasted. It's important that we enter into it. Now, if you were here on Tuesday, you would have heard our friend Andrew Womack. He was on the big screen talking about God wants you well. And at the end of Tuesday night, I made this statement. I said that on a Sunday, today, I was going to talk about how we need to meditate in the Word of God. And that is exactly what we're going to do. We're going to talk about that this morning. And if you were here last week, and the CD is available for you, you will remember that toward the end of the message, I gave you a list of some scriptures, probably 10, maybe 12 scriptures. By now, you should have meditated on them, spent some time thinking them through and chewing over them. So we're going to talk about meditating in the Word today, because, you know, most Christians do read their Bible. Not a lot, but most of them do read it, and usually when they got a problem, usually when there's difficulty, usually when there's some situation of sickness or an urgent need, and then our minds go to, what was that scripture that Norm gave on Sunday? What was that one? Where can we find it? We need to really understand that it's not just a matter of reading your Bible. It's not just a matter of praying, and those are important. You must do that. But you need to meditate in the Word of God. And many people think that, well, if I read and pray, that's meditating. No, it's not. That's reading and praying. So we need to meditate in the Word of God. And I looked up several references to see what it said about meditating. And this is some of the things that it says. It says it means to think, to study, to ponder, to muse, to look over. Meditation involves your mind, but you have to clear your mind of useless information in order to meditate in the truth. And you have to soak your thinking processes, I guess, in the Word of God until it's no longer just a thinking process, it's now a spiritual reality. And as we go through, you'll begin to see that. Meditating is really like how some of you would remember, although not today, we don't seem to need to develop photographs. Everyone's got photograph ability within your little phone. You can just click away and take as many photographs as you want. You don't have to go to the Kodak shop or what's the other one? Ilfred? Yeah, whatever it was. You don't have to go to the shop and take your film in and get them to develop it and, you know. Now it's all instant. You have to be a bit like that in meditating on the Word. It's like developing a photograph, developing a picture. You have to begin to see yourself with what the Bible says you have before you actually have it. You meditate in this until it becomes real in you. And when it becomes real in you, then it begins to manifest. It begins to come to that place where you're actually experiencing it. There's a scripture that I'd like to read to you from Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, which you know we've used many times, but Joshua chapter 1, if you don't have a Bible, there's probably one in the seat in front of you. Joshua, that's Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Now this is God speaking to Joshua. Because if you remember, Moses was given the job of leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, bringing them through the wilderness to the land of promise, the land of Canaan. But things happened along the way, and as if you remember the story, Moses didn't actually get in. And this is God speaking to Joshua. He says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night." Meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, that is after you've meditated and done what it says, then you'll make your way prosperous, and you'll have good success. Now, in our newsletter today, you will find that we put a little study in there, and it's called The Good Life. Yeah. Don't worry about it now, but I'm just pointing it out to you so you can look at it later and meditate in some of the things that we've put in there. So Joshua's got a commission from God, and his commission is he's got to meditate in this word. He's got to spend time in this word. The New Life Translation of the Bible says this: "This book of the law shall not leave your mouth. Think about it day and night, so you may be careful to do all that is written in it. Then all will go well with you, and you will receive many good things." That's a good translation. The New Living Translation, which is another one, this is what it says: "Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate in it day and night. Be sure you obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do." God wanted to fill Joshua's heart with his word so Joshua would know exactly what to do no matter what the circumstances. Because when the word is in your heart and you're meditating on it, no matter what is happening, if it's sickness, if it's to do with poverty, if it's a family matter, there's always an answer in the word. But if you haven't spent time in the word, then you haven't got the answer. You need the wisdom from above so that you can know the answer. And God wanted Joshua to have the answer so he could lead the people according to God's standard, which is the word, not man's standard. We need to live our life according to the word of God. Because if you do exactly what the word says, then you'll do well, you'll be prosperous, and things will happen. So if you meditate on this scripture, God will begin to show you what to do in any situation. Doesn't matter what the situation is, doesn't matter how serious it is. The doctor has an examination of you, and he says, "Look, I'm sorry, you got bad news, you only got, 3 months to live, Marco." But you see, God has another plan. God says, "I have a plan for you. A good plan to give you a hope and an expected end." Yeah. See, when the doctor says cancer, God says, "I've taken care of it." Think about it now. See, you need to understand these things. So it comes out of meditating in the word of God. So we'll do well. Now let me give you the Hebrew word for meditate. I won't give you the actual word, but I'll tell you what it means. This is what it means. It means to actively recite or speak out God's words so they do not depart from your mouth. It means to practice regular scripture memorization and then determine to put it into practice. I'm going to read that to you again. That's the Hebrew word that describes meditate. When God spoke to Joshua and when he spoke to Abraham and to all the other old men of the Bible in those days and told them to meditate in it, this is what he was saying. I want you to, now listen to it again. I want you to actively recite or speak out the word of God. Don't let it depart out of your mouth. Practice it regularly with scripture memorization and determine to put it into practice. Now, can you think of a New Testament reference that says that? Come on, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. Okay, let's look at it. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. See, everything that's in the Old Testament is just a type or a shadow, and it's real in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. He says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." The word profession in the Greek translation is homologeo, H-O-M-O-L-O-G-I-A, and it means saying what the book says, saying what God says. We're talking about meditating, scripture memorization. Elizabeth did a little course many years ago from the Navigators, I think it was, and it was called a scripture memorization course. And they took you through a number of scriptures, and the idea was you could memorize them. It's one thing to remember them, but you have to be able to put them into practice. And so we need to memorize the word and then put it into practice. I read a little report from a 2007 Science Daily article. Listen to this. This is by a research by a Pennsylvania State neuroscientist. Now, a neuroscientist is like Carolyn Leaf. That's a scientist who understands the the brain. Listen to this. This scientist, he said, he found that scripture meditation enhanced the mind's ability to focus and accomplish tasks more efficiently. I'm going to read that to you again. Listen to this. 2007, Science Daily article reported by this Pennsylvania State neuroscientist, he found that scripture meditation enhanced the mind's ability to focus and to accomplish tasks more efficiently. Do you realize that if you get your theology right and you get some good teaching, which you do get here, that if you will apply what you hear on a Sunday when you face a situation on a Monday, you'll have a successful Monday. If what we teach you here Sundays and Tuesdays, you apply it in your life, then you'll be successful. Let me take you back to another reference, just quickly. Psalm 1. Psalm 1, verse 1, 2, and 3. Psalm 1, verse 1. Listen to this. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, we could spend a week there. You want to be blessed? Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. That brings me to another thought. When you don't feel well, most times people will go to your local doctor, whoever that may be. Have you ever thought of asking him, are you godly? You want to be blessed? Do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. There's a need for Christian doctors and Christian nurses, like Margaret and Jessica. There's a need for people who understand Bible principles, because not everybody, now listen to me, not everybody gets the teaching that you get. Not everybody knows how to pray for the sick, but these people do. I've talked with Margaret and I've talked with Jessica, and I want to tell you something. If you're ever going into the Austin Hospital for any brain surgery, you want to make sure Margaret's the nurse that's there. That's Margaret down the back there. Because she knows how to pray for people. And look, she can give you testimonies about people that she's prayed for that God has done wonderful things in their lives. You're in the Northern now, isn't it, Jessica? If you're going in the Northern Hospital, you better make sure Jessica's there. Or Patrick, at least. He works in the Northern as well. You see, you need to be able to know how to handle these situations. It comes with good teaching and good meditation in the Word. Let me read it again. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Boy, that's a lot. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he what? Meditate day and night. Here it is again. Now, let me ask you this question. Are you able to get your nose in the Bible for 24 hours a day? No, you're probably not, because you may do it the first day, but I guarantee you by the middle of the second day, you're going to be dozing off. If you have a difficulty sleeping at night, let me give you a little tip. Start reading this. Listen to me. Every time you start to read this book, the Bible, there are little demons that will come around, and they'll start singing, "Hush-a-bye, baby, in the treetop." And you'll fall asleep. They don't want you to read this. They don't want you to spend time. The devil doesn't want you to get in there, because when you find out the truth, it sets you free. Let me read that again to you. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Then he shall be like a tree planted. Interesting word. Not growing wild, not just here, there, or anywhere, but planted. Specifically placed is what it says. Planted by the rivers of water. Washed by the water of the word, Ephesians 5:26. That brings forth his fruit in season. His leaf will not wither. And whatsoever he does will prosper. There's a key for you. So the principle that's contained here in Psalm 1 is exactly the same that's contained in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. If you want to be prosperous, then you're going to have to study and meditate. I mean, get all the scriptures you can on prosperity and how to be successful in the financial realm. Meditate on it, it'll become real in you. If it's a healing situation, you need health, start meditating on all the healing scriptures. But let me give you some keys. When we come out of our home in the morning, say this morning, usually the last thing that Elizabeth will say to me when we're getting in the car is this: have you shut the door? Now, Elizabeth's dad was a great man. I loved him. He lived until he was 94. But he was pedantic about some things. He would lock the door and then shake the door almost off the wall to make sure it was locked. She's her father's daughter. So on our front door, there's two locks on the door. There's a deadlock and an ordinary lock. And then there's a screen that locks as well. And it's a security screen. So, I mean, anybody, you can get in through the roof or through the window, but you're not going to get in through that door. The word I'm looking at is shut. How many times have you said to somebody, shh, up? I'm going to give you the word shut. First word, we're talking about meditating. You have to shut out everything that's going to take you away from the Word of God. That means no television. That means no phone calls. That means no outside interference. That means don't let the devil interfere to try and take you away from the time that you're meditating in the Word. It means absorbing that Word into your spirit man so it becomes a reality. And so you have to shut out everything else. Then there's another, you have to shut in. You have to shut yourself in with God. Shut out the devil and shut yourself in with God. Listen to me, meditation is not a group activity. Bible study is a group activity, but meditation is something that you do personally. It's a private time. It's just you and the Lord. You just spend time with Him in His Word. And you need to practice meditating in the Word. So you shut yourself in. Listen to God. But then this is the third one. You shut up and listen to what He's saying. So shut out, shut in, and shut up. You have to meditate in this Word. You see, meditation is moving up from just information to revelation. You move up from where, well, I know that God heals, but I'm not really sure if He wants to heal me. So you start meditating in the Word of God on healing. You start reading the Scriptures, meditating, chewing them over. And you come to a place where it's not just information, it's now revelation. I know that God wants me to be well. You need to have, do you understand if I use this term, a D&M? Deep and meaningful. You need a deep and meaningful conversation with God. And we used to have to say that to the kids. We're going to have a little D&M. Time to have a little talk. I can remember some of those times, Ian, yeah. Praise the Lord. That's all right. So we are moving up from just information, now we're getting into revelation. God says we need to meditate in this Word. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20 says, incline your ear to His sayings. Meditating in this Word. See, the number one way that God has given us for growing in faith is, listen to it, it's a spiritual law, and it's called hearing the Word. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Now, it's not just hearing the Word. It's hearing, what it says is hearing the preached Word. Hearing the revelation of it. Not just so many words, but word that comes with an anointing. Word that comes with a motivation of the Spirit. So God has already given us a measure of faith, but we have to develop that. And we develop that by meditating in the Word. But you know what? You can't really physically touch Jesus today. I know we have Him inside, but He's seated at the right hand of the Father. So it's a long stretch. You can't physically touch Him like they could in Bible days. In Bible days, Jesus walking along, people reached out and touched him. The little woman with the issue of blood, you remember that story? She said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be well. Mark chapter 5. And so she reached out and touched the blue tassel on his prayer shawl. And he said, who touched me? See, she made a demand on the power that was in him. You have to make a demand on the power that's available. See, unless you're walking with Jesus, you're not going to be able to touch him. And even though you may be walking spiritually with him, you can't touch him. But you know what? John chapter 1, the first chapter of John. In John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And you go down to verse 14, verse 12. As many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among them. And as many as beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Son, full of grace and truth. When they walked with Jesus, they could touch him. You can't physically touch him today, but you can touch him through the Word. He is the Word. Every time you meditate in this book, every time you spend time in this book, you're touching him. It's like that woman with the issue of blood. You're reaching out and touching, as it were, the hem of his garment. You see, unless you develop this great faith and have it operating in your life, listen to me, you're not going to get great faith results. Weak faith brings weak faith results. Great faith. That's why Jesus said, how come you got no faith? They couldn't do the things he's telling them to do. So you have to develop this great faith. And as you develop this great faith, guess what happens? You're going to get great results. Now, some of you will remember that I've mentioned an older pastor called Norman Armstrong. Norm Armstrong was one of my mentors. He's now gone on to be with the Lord. He lived until he was, I think, 95. And if you look on our website, you'll actually see photographs of Norm Armstrong and Elizabeth and I, because we preached up in his church a few months before he passed away. That's a couple of years ago, 2-3 years ago. But I remember he told me one time, because I came very much into ministry by helping him. Brother Norm Armstrong used to come to Melbourne every quarter, every 3 months. He'd preach in a couple of churches around, but he'd run a meeting in Scott's church in the city on a Friday afternoon and a Friday evening. I would go down to those meetings, and I'd be his song leader, and I'd lead the meetings, and we would fellowship together. There was a lady who was his secretary, came with him, and she played the piano. Ruth was her name, Ruth Harvey. But Norm Armstrong said this to me. He said, two Norms together. Norm Armstrong said to Norm Campbell, he said, Norm, you need to start believing God for a new pair of socks. And I looked, he said, no, I don't, not those ones. He says, but when you can believe God for a new pair of socks, then you can believe God for healing. In other words, start small. You may only have small faith now, but the more you develop it, the more you exercise it, the more you use it. You see, your human mind can be trained. Your human intellect can be trained, and your body, you can train your body, you can be educated, all of those things. But you realize that your human spirit can be trained as well. Your human spirit can be trained in the Word of God, so you become what God wants you to be. And you do that by meditating. And it's a principle that you need to apply in your life every day. See, God only communicates with your spirit. He doesn't communicate with your brains. You know, we say, well, the Lord spoke to me. Yeah, but he's not talking to my head. He's talking to my heart. Yeah. And people are waiting on, you know, a brick or a tile going out of the roof and a voice speaking. No, that doesn't happen. It's just, you know, inside. Yeah. Quite often, you know, the Lord will speak to me about things, and I'll maybe say something a little later about that. But you need to start and apply the principles. Do you know that Proverbs 20 and 27, let me read this verse to you. Come on, we got plenty of time this morning. Proverbs 20 and 27. I said that God only talks to your spirit. Proverbs 20:27. Listen to this. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. That means that God is going to use your own spirit to guide you as you meditate in His Word. He's not going to talk to your head. He's not talking to your thinking. He's talking to your spirit man. Now, God told Joshua, I want you to meditate in the Word. I want you to spend time in it. And if you do that, you'll make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. And it's interesting, if you read that Old Testament story, you'll find that Joshua was only Joshua and Caleb, two of them, that actually got into the land of Canaan. All the others who doubted and questioned and argued and fought about it, they all died in the wilderness. Man, think about it, 3.5 million people. They had to wait until all these people passed away in order to get in. Even Moses didn't get in. So you need to hear from God. And God doesn't just talk to ministers. He talks to you, and He talks to business people. I have a friend who's in business in another state. Interesting man. I won't tell you his name. A couple of you here might probably know him. But he has a very successful business. He's a millionaire. And Elizabeth and I, we've stayed in his house when we've gone to that state. And when his business council, I guess, or his the advisors, those who are in business with him, when they say, we need to hold a meeting to talk about what the business is going to do, he says, you go have your meeting. He goes out into the field and talks to God. He walks out in the paddocks and he says, God, what do you want me to do? Then he comes back and tells the guys inside, this is what God said. This is what we're going to do. He's never in the business meeting. He's always out talking to God. Ross knows who I'm talking about because he knows him as well. Interesting character. I won't tell you anything about him. We'll talk about him another day. But you see, you need to have the ability to develop spiritual wisdom, even for your business. If your children are going to school, you need to develop spiritual wisdom for your children going to school. And if we can learn to meditate, it's a very rewarding occupation, because you come into that intimacy with God. You come into that place where it's God in you, and the Holy Spirit is telling you and ministering things to you. But if you never do it, you'll never know it. So we have to spend the time. Now, as I said before, you can't keep your nose in the Bible 24 hours a day. You can't do that. I know so many people, in fact, quite a number of them, who have had a desire to be in ministry and do what I'm doing or do what other ministers do. And I'm thinking of one person in particular at the moment just coming to mind. And some people say, well, I'm just going to give up my job. I'm just going to sit at home and I'm going to meditate and study and read the Bible and I'm going to be successful. All the people that I know who did that were not successful. Yeah. Listen to me. Think about this. If you're not successful living by faith with a job, you're never going to be successful living by faith without a job. I just let that rattle around a little bit. See, God wants us to live by faith. Let me throw a couple more scriptures at you. I'm almost over, but listen to this. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. It says, if any does not work, then he should not eat. How about that? 1 Timothy 5:8. If any provide not for his own, he's worse than an infidel. Hey guys, don't give up your job. See, meditation is more than just reading. Meditation means fixing your mind on the Word of God, dwelling on it, and that thought life just continually. See, you can meditate. Elizabeth meditates on the Word while she's ironing my shirts. You can meditate while you're in the grocery store. You can meditate while you're driving your car. You don't have to get a certain place. You can just meditate on the Word anytime. I'm meditating on the Word almost constantly. Continually. Elizabeth says, I've got nobody to talk to because I'm out in my office. And she's inside and she said, I just wish I had somebody to talk to. And she's sitting there, she's watching Kenneth Copeland or somebody else, on the TV, but just having that interaction and communication is important. But I let the scriptures roll around, as it were, in my spirit. I let the Holy Ghost begin to paint a picture inside of me. See, I'll tell you how I meditate. That might help you. This is how I meditate. When I'm going to meditate on whatever the scripture is, I find the one that I think God wants to speak to me from. I'll start praying in the spirit. And I just keep praying in the spirit and praying in the spirit. And it may take me 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour, maybe an hour. And then when I've got all the other stuff that's bombarding, that's coming in, all these other thoughts coming in, what about this and what about that? When I've got all of that out and my mind is quiet, now I'm at a place where I can begin to concentrate. I'm shutting myself in because I've already shut out. And now I'm shutting up and I'm listening and I'm hearing what the Spirit of God is saying to me. So now I'm beginning to hear. See, you can't watch television for 2 or 3 hours and then suddenly meditate in the Word of God. You can't get rid of that junk quick enough. You say, oh, but you know, I never take any of that in. Let me tell you, you watch television for 10 minutes, you've taken it in. It just feeds in, it just feeds in, it just feeds in. Because 2 weeks down the track, you find yourself saying, where did that come from? Why did I say that? You were watching the box. It got in. Now, I'm not against television. We've got two of them. I have one in the kitchen, and sometimes I'll watch the news or whatever when we're having our evening meal. But, you know, not until we've said, thank you, Lord, for this food. We give God His place. And then I'll put the TV on, and if there's anything going across the little strip at the bottom, you know, that takes my interest. I'm not listening to it, but I see the little strip, and it tells me what's happening across the various parts of the world. And we're seeing things happen in the world that I've already read about in the Word, that God has already spoken to me about. So I'm just quieting myself. I'm now allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to me. I read a quote by a man called Alan Cohen. He's an author, and this is what he said. If you want to find God, hang out in the space between your thoughts. Yeah. What about that? If you want to find God, hang out in the space between your thoughts. In other words, get all that junk out and let God take control. See, I just think about it. And if my meditating isn't bringing the picture clear to me, I go back and read it over again. You see, now I meditate. So here I am meditating in these few verses. I thank you, Lord. I meditate in them. I'm thinking about them. What does this mean to me, Lord? And I'm listening. And then I'll put my Bible down. And I'm just sitting, listening. Thank you, Father. You're talking to me. So God is talking to me. Revelation is coming from what I've just read. And if it's not quite clear, I'll go back and read it again. Sometimes 2 or 3 times. You know, I'll maybe spend just an hour or 2 hours just thinking on 1 or 2 verses, just meditating on them, thinking about them, getting the best out of it that I can, getting everything that God wants to say to me. In fact, this is what I do. When I'm reading in the New Testament, especially the stories with Jesus and the disciples, I visualize myself there with them. It's just like I'm walking along the street. Here's Jesus coming along. The disciples are with him. Here's a blind man sitting, and I'm seeing this. Here's a blind man. His name is Bartimaeus. And he hears that Jesus is coming by. And he starts shouting out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And I'm observing. I'm seeing this. I'm watching the face of Jesus. I'm watching the face of the disciples. I'm watching the faces of the crowd. I'm watching the face of Bartimaeus. I put myself in the picture. I'm meditating. You understand what I'm saying? I'm there. It's just like, it's Jesus and me. We're doing this thing together. And you know what? When I start to do that, the Holy Spirit starts to drop into my spirit. Now, this may be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. Words of knowledge start coming in. And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, somebody in church on Sunday. That's interesting. I didn't realize that. Suddenly, revelation knowledge is coming. Now, we're going to make time to pray this morning, but there's somebody here this morning, and you've been having dizzy turns. Like you think, oh, I'm going to fall over. That's up this end. Now, someone else at the other end, the bottom end of your colon. You've had some difficulty there. Listen to this. Psalm 4, verse 4. Meditate in God's word as you lie on your bed. Psalm 63, 6. When I remember thee on my bed, I meditate on thee in the night watches. Psalm 77, 12. I will also meditate on all of your work and talk of your deeds. Psalm 119, verse 15. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. Psalm 119, verse 27. Make me to understand the way of your precepts, so I shall meditate on all your wonderful works. Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Psalm 119, verse 99. I have more understanding than all of my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Psalm 143, verse 5. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all of thy doings. I muse on the works of your hands. We're talking about meditating in this word. See, it takes more than just coming to church on Sunday. It takes more than just being here on a Tuesday. You need to spend time in the book. Shutting the devil out, shutting the world out, shutting yourself in, and then shutting up and listening to God. Can you do it? I know you can. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Now, if you need the prayer of agreement, now listen to the words I'm using. If you need the prayer of agreement, in other words, you are believing God for healing the head or the rear end of the colon. That one doesn't come up very often, but it came in my spirit this morning. Something to do with the bottom of the lower end of your colon. If you need us to agree with you, and that's what we'll do, we can pray the prayer of agreement. We're not going to pray for you, we'll agree with you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or anything else. There may be some other situation. Family situation. Doesn't matter what it is. We will agree with you, lay hands on you, and God will do the job. So is there anyone who needs us to agree with you this morning? Just let me see a hand or two. Okay, there's one, two, three, four. Okay. Well, all of you, if you just come out, could we just push this back up? We can agree with you in prayer. This is a prayer of agreement. The Bible says, if any two agree as touching anything on earth, it should be established in heaven. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Elizabeth, just come. We're just going to go along the line, and we're going to lay hands on you and agree with whatever you have placed before God. So this is the prayer of agreement. We're agreeing with you, Flower. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just lay hands on her. Thank you, Father, for the anointing. We agree. We agree. We agree. Take that. Oh, don't miss it. Take it. That's the anointing. Let God do that. Let it come. Let it come. Take that all. Take it all. Oh, yes. That situation is going to change. Oh, yes, it is. You're not going to be bothered by that anymore. We agree. We agree with the thing you've cried out to God about. Oh, take it all. Take it all. There's more. There's more.
Thank you.
There's more. You need this. You need this. You need this. You need this. Take it all. Take it all. Don't miss this. Don't miss it. Thank you, Lord. Take it all. Take it all. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Yeah, cleansing, 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 cleansing. Thank you, Father, from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. Oh, yes. Oh, no, there's more. There's more. There's more. Take it all. Take it all. Oh, you need this. This is a renewal. This is a powerful renewal. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, let that go, let it go, let it go. Let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go. Thank you, Lord, we agree.
Thank you.
Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, for my brother Patrick. Thank you, Father, for the anointing. Thanks, Elizabeth. Just lay hands. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, touch him by your Spirit right now. Touch him, Father, from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. Lord, let that anointing flow down through him. Oh, yeah. Now, take that, Patrick. Don't resist what God is doing. Just take it. Take it. Take it. Take it. Ori asya kumunda badiya salaba subu kupa. Prababushi tikumosa. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, yes. Yes, 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 yes. Yes. Oh, right.
Right, thank you, Lord.
Kimonosara ki parabasiti. Kora babosa barababa. Every sinew, every muscle, every bone.
Yes.
Now touched by the Spirit of God.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. For Brother Robert, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Shiti kuburunde. Rababu shanda matukupo. Oh, yay. Koi anda. Take it all. 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 Don't miss it. 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 Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. All the way, Lord. All the way. All the way. Right down. Right down. Oh, kikasa kuburu. Oh, take it all. That's it. Take it all. That's it. Thank you, Lord. For Margaret, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing. Hallelujah. Lord, we agree with Margaret.
Yes, we do.
This is the prayer of agreement. This is the prayer of agreement.
Hallelujah.
We agree. Touch her, Father. She needs to feel.
Oh, yes.
Oh, she needs to feel your presence.
Oh, yes.
Oh, Lord. Lord, you love Margaret more than she knows.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, the way she has prayed for other people in hospital now, we just agree. We agree with you and agree with her for her total and complete restoration. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's more. There's more. Oh, yes. No. That's just the Holy Spirit's just touching you, Margaret. So don't be concerned. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you,
Lord. Oh, yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus for Kayleen. Father, from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, in the name of Jesus. We agree. We agree. Total, complete, everything, Father, right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yes, yes, yes. Take it all. Take it all. Take it all. That's it. Take it all. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. 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 Thank you for the anointing, Lord.
Yes.
Now, Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, take it all, Chris. Don't miss any of it. That's it. Oh, yeah. All of it. All of it. All of it. That's it. Yeah, you're going to get this. Yeah, you are. Yeah, you. Kubashandi Mosapa. Rabasaki Shotopo Popoporatakava. Libobo Soborobondanigianda. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. From the crown of his head all the way down to the tips of his toes. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. God is a good God. Hallelujah. Something's coming up in my spirit about teeth. Somebody got a problem with teeth or tooth? You nodding to me, Robert? You're saying, yeah, okay. All right. Russell, come lay hands on. Just stay where you are. Russell, come lay hands on. Amos chapter 6 and verse 4 says, I will give you cleanness of teeth in all of your cities.
Yes.
Now, the word cleanness means health. Hallelujah. Father,
yes.
Health
yes.
In his teeth.
Yes. Thank you.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank
you for your word, because the word never returns to God
void.
It always does what he says it will do. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Ian, you're finishing off for us today. You want to come and receive the offerings? Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, that was good teaching. You enjoy that?
Yes.
How to meditate. I encourage you as we come to our tithes and offerings, if you can put that up there, our offering confession, Cassandra, that'll be great. That as we heard today, we're spending time in the Word, meditating, developing our faith, because faith doesn't come by age. You know that?
Yeah.
It's not the older you get, the more faith you get.
Right.
Faith comes by hearing the word and hearing the revelated and revelation. So, you know, a 12-year-old child has the same faith as you and I. It's how have we developed it. So it's not age. So, you know, just because you're an older Christian or a newer Christian, age has got nothing to do with it. You've been given the gift of faith, amen? You've been given God's faith. And it's up to us to develop it and spend time in the Word, and that's how we do it. Get that revelation knowledge and then apply it. You know, God wants to take you to greater levels of faith. There's different levels of faith. And I don't know about you. Probably all of us have done some sort of training at some stage, whether it be at school. And what happened was you learnt a process. You learnt something in a subject. And then what happened? You were given a test. Why were you given the test? To see if you can understand and apply what you just learnt. Because now you're ready to go and learn more and go to the next level. And then when we've done that level at school or wherever we were, we then get a test. And then we go on and we apply it. And if we pass it, we get to the next level. Faith's exactly the same thing. You get revelation knowledge, you get the word of God, you get understanding on sowing seed and giving to God. And then you know what? All of a sudden, you're like, where's this pressure coming from? The devil is putting some pressure on you. Not because God's allowed it, but a situation comes in. But guess what? You've just learnt the word. You've just gone to another level in your faith. Now it's time to apply it to that situation. You know what? We apply what we've learnt. We confess the word of God. And we pass that test. And you know what? Greater things. Amen? We're moving on. So encourage you. Never shy away from situations and circumstances. God, the word says that he will never cause you to be tempted or tested above what you can bear.
That's right.
And that's great. That was great encouragement to me growing up, because any time I find myself in a situation, I know the word says he will never put me in anything that I'm not able to bear it and go through it, praise God. So right there and then, you should be encouraged that no matter what you're facing, God knows that you're facing it, and he is equipped within you. He's put within your spirit what you need to go through it, amen? And you just need to spend time in the word, and you get the word and the revelation. But let me encourage you with this one before we take up the offering. This is Romans Romans chapter 11, and it is verse 29. You all know it?
Yes.
It says, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance.
Thank you, Lord.
The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. I want to encourage you that you have all been given gifts of God, and you are all called. Amen?
Amen?
We're Christians, we're all called. Let me read the Amplified to you. For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable.
Amen.
Irrevocable. It says, he never withdraws them from once they are given, and he does not change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace and to whom he sends his call.
Amen.
So praise God, you've been called, you've been chosen, and God will not withdraw it. That should be that's exciting to me, because I know if I've been called and we've been called, then you know what? We've been given the ability to go through and overcome, amen, as we develop our faith. So as you've learned today, let's spend time in the Word. Let's get that revelation in our hearts, and then we can increase our faith and grow more and grow more. And you know what? The devil tries to... The devil's trying to stop your faith. That's all he's trying to do. And I encourage you, as we're coming to the finances, that the devil just wants to stop your faith, because your faith is the only thing that can stop him. Amen?
Yeah, yeah.
So the first thing you find the devil tries to attack almost always is your joy.
Yes.
Tries to get you into strife. Tries to get you upset. Do you see what they did? Do you see what they said to you? Look what that happened. He's trying to get you to lose you lose your joy. No joy, no faith. No faith, you're not going to overcome. So recognize when things happen, it's not the person, it's not necessarily the situation, it's the devil behind it. And then you can deal with it, you can take authority, amen, deal with that root cause and you can move on. So I encourage you that keep your joy, keep your faith, and especially when it comes to financial things, stay in faith, amen, and get revelation. And then as you come to a situation, know that you can go through it, and let's go through it, praise God, and we'll be blessed. Let's stand with our offering in our hand, and we're going to take up the tithes and offerings, praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's believe God. Let's understand that we're well able. If God's told us to sow a seed, we're well able to sow it. But you know what? We're also well able to receive the harvest. Amen. Praise God, so we can give again. Praise the Lord. All right. With faith in our heart, 1, 2, 3. Father God, today I come into your house, bringing my tithes and offering according to Malachi 3:10. Thank you for rebuking the devourer on my behalf.
because I'm a faithful and consistent giver. I'm not limited to the world's economy. I speak your word over my finances. You have blessed me to be a blessing. Amen.
Brother Ross, would you help me with that, please? That's great.
Thank you.
Blessed to be a blessing, amen. Do you know the blessing of God is on your life? What does the word say? He has commanded the blessing and he cannot reverse it. Praise God. The blessing of God is on your life. You know, I'll encourage you. You've got to start to sit. Dad gave it. There's so much revelation in today's sermon. It's phenomenal. But a key there, if you can grab hold of it, is visualizing.
Yes.
Seeing yourself in the situation. And I mean, I used to teach that to my salespeople. See yourself going, meeting the customer, shaking the hand, see them happy, see them satisfied, see them, you know, writing out the check, paying the deposit, signing the agreement. Visualize yourself being successful in the role, straight out of the Word of God. And you can use it in your meditation too. See yourself doing it. But you know, if you never see yourself being successful, you'll never be there. And this is why you spend time in the Word, because you renew your mind so that you can see yourself the way God has already completed for you and how he already sees you now. And when you see yourself the way God already sees you, that is a conqueror, prosperous, healed, healthy, delivered, when you see yourself the way he already sees you, the way the word says you are, then you start to walk in it.
Yes.
So don't see all the things that you have been. Don't think back and go, oh, I remember that and I couldn't pay for that. Do you remember when I didn't have enough money for this? Do you remember when I failed at that? Don't see that. See this, what God says. See that God says you're a conqueror, you're a champion, you're well able. Start to see yourself that way. And I'll tell you, the second you see yourself the way the word says it, the second you see yourself successful and the person that God wants you to be, the hump comes straight out of your back. I can tell you. You feel better, you walk tall, and you go, man, I can do this. I've got God on the inside of me, and I'm well able. And I'm going to walk through because I have the authority. Amen? So you just encourage her. Spend time in the Word. It's the revelation of the Word that'll cause your faith to increase. And it's your faith that's going to win every time for you. Amen? It's already done. Praise God. All right.